It's December the 27th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. I don't know if you've been counting off the days, but I certainly have. You know what this means? We are in the home stretch. We are almost there. In January, we started climbing the great mountain of God's revelation. We started in the book of Genesis. We read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and dropped in there the book of Psalms 10 different times and then interspersed the books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we made our way through the wisdom books and got the Song of Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and the great book of Hebrews. And what a year we've had. What a wonderful experience it's been. But after today, only 4 more days of Bible reading left, 28th, 29th, the 30th, and the 31st, and then it will be the year 2025. So thank you. And by the way, I know a lot of you following along with this Bible reading are not watching it live. I'm coming to you live from my office here in our home, my basement office here in our home in Shawnee, Kansas. Thank you for joining us. If you're watching live, that's fantastic. If you're watching later, wherever you are, it's wonderful. It is 8 a.m. in Pottersville, New York. It's 7 a.m. in Shawnee, Kansas. It's 6 a.m. in Missoula, Montana. It's 5 a.m. in Cannon Beach, Oregon. It's 1 p.m. in London. It is 3 p.m. in Jerusalem. And it is 6:30 p.m. in Mumbai, that great megalopolis, that vast city in the country of India. So as we're starting this morning, let me encourage you in the comments, and I see a number of people, Kathy and Leah and Jack and Ed and Janet and Linda are checking in, wherever you are, if you will, in the comments on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, the Keep Believing website, YouTube, whatever it is, just tell us in the comments where you are watching this video, whether it's live or later, always a great encouragement. Yesterday, we had people from all across America joining us. So what a blessing it's been. Some Christmas card testimonies. Ray and Marlene, we have enjoyed our perpetual pass on the Bible bus last year and now this year. Thank you, Drew and Cindy. Hey, I like that phrase, perpetual pass. That's right, because we're going to leave these videos up, and it's our intention that these videos will stay on the internet until Jesus comes again. And then from Ruth, what a blessing to have you read the Bible to us every day. It's been meaningful when you've referenced Calvary Memorial Church 25 years ago, reading through the Bible too. And if you remember, when I have gone through the book of Psalms, we did a little bit differently. And I used that pulpit Bible that we used for the Bible reading marathon. That was not just 25 years ago. That was 25 years ago, today and tomorrow. We read it the last 4 days of 1999 to end one century and begin another century, new millennium. Hard to believe a quarter century has passed since that. Dear Ray and Marlene, thank you for your ministry. Bible bus year 2 is almost complete. Looking forward to year 3 on the bus. And then I got one more from, this is not a Christmas card, but from someone who was watching yesterday. Merry Christmas, Ray and Marlene. I am almost finished the second year of the Bible bus with Ray. Enjoyed now the first live one in the book of Revelation. And then she says, you don't need to apologize for going over your time. I know everybody's time is important. She said, I could stand to listen to you a few more hours. Enjoy the rest of this year. I hope to listen again live tomorrow. She means now today, December the 27th. Thank you for your faithfulness. Well, Yvette, thank you for your faithfulness in hopping on the Bible bus with us. Just so glad to have everybody with us. Reminder, we started this, Marlene and I did, as a legacy project. You know, you get into your 70s and you realize, you start thinking about what you're going to leave behind for those who come after. We did this for our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids so that the generations would come to know that way back there somewhere, there was Grandpa and Grandma, Ray and Marlene, who believed and loved the Word of God. Don't forget, by the way, to like these videos. And also, if you have not done it, I've only mentioned this a couple hundred times, Don't forget to subscribe to the Keep Believing YouTube channel. That helps us a great deal. Okay, today, Revelation chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 5, the Lamb takes the scroll. Chapter 6, the opening of the first six seals. Chapter 7, an interlude of grace, the sealing of the 144,000 Jewish believers in Jesus, and a vast uncounted multitude are going to be saved in the coming tribulation. And chapter 8, the blowing of the first four trumpets of judgment. This book, Book of Revelation, was written by the Apostle John in about the year AD 95 from the island of Patmos, a prison island in the ocean between Greece and Turkey. Marlene and I were there to visit it. And, you know, when you go to the island of Patmos, you can see why they put John there. It's it would have been a lonely place to be. There, God gave John those visions. He wrote it down. That became the book of Revelation. Remember, the purpose of this book is not to help you pick out the date of the rapture or begin to identify the Antichrist or figure out what the mark of the beast will be. The real purpose of this book is to reveal. You've heard the word apocalypse. Apocalypse means the unveiling. If we read the book of Revelation together and we get all this prophetic information, which is good, it's important, but we don't know Jesus better. We don't love him more. We don't serve him with more fervency. We've missed the point of this great book. So then, the outline of the book of Revelation, it's in chapter 1, verse 19. The angel told John, write what you have seen. That's chapter 1. The things that are, chapters 2 and 3, that's the church age. And write what is yet to come, chapters 4 through 22. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is true, that it speaks to us today. We pray, O Lord, suit a blessing to our hearts. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look in it. I wept and wept because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so that he is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He went and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered. You purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands, plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, blessing and honor and glory and power be to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. What was that scroll? It's not clearly identified in Revelation 5. I believe that the scroll is the title deed to the planet Earth. Whoever could open the scroll has the right to rule and reign forever on this planet. That is why there is no created being that could ever take that scroll and open it. Only the Son of God, the Lamb standing as if he had been slain. The Lamb with the marks of his suffering still on him, standing because he is alive at the very center of the universe. He alone is worthy. And I got to say, when I read Revelation chapter 5, I want to start singing that great hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon the Throne." Hark how the heavenly anthem, all music drowns all music but its own. Revelation 6. Now, watch what's going to happen. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus in heaven, he has taken the scroll. He begins to open the scrolls. That is, he begins to open the seals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So in chapter 6, we're going to find out what happens as each successive seal is opened. Revelation 6. Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked. There was a white horse. Its rider held a bow. A crown was given to him. He went out as a conqueror in order to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse went out, a fiery red one, and its rider was allowed to take peace from the earth so that people would slaughter one another. And a large sword was given to him. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a black horse. Its rider held a set of scales in his hand. Then I heard something like a voice among the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked. There was a pale green horse. Its rider was named Death. Hades was following after him. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, by famine, by plague, and by the wild animals of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered because of the word of God and the testimony they had given. They cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, the one who is holy and true, how long until you judge those who live on the earth and avenge our blood?" So they were each given a white robe. They were told to rest a little while longer until the number would be completed of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who were going to be killed just as they had been. Then I saw him open the sixth seal. A violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of hair. The entire moon became like blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its unripe figs when shaken by a high wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll being rolled up. Every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the generals, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and free person hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of their wrath has come. Who is able to stand?" First four seals, white horsemen. That's the Antichrist going forth to conquer the earth. And the second rider, the red horse, that's war that spreads over the earth. Then the black horse, that's famine and suffering. Then the pale horse, that's the horse that brings death. The Antichrist, war, famine, and death. That's what's ahead during that final tribulation period. Trouble is going to come upon all the earth. And then the fifth seal, the martyrs who cry out, that is the believers who have died for their faith, I believe, across the centuries, and they are crying out to the Lord. They are saying, "Lord, how long until you avenge our blood?" And the Lord says, "Just a little while longer." Then when the sixth seal, there's an enormous series of earthquakes and natural disturbances, and it says, the rulers of the earth, isn't it interesting? The rulers of the earth, they don't come to the Lamb in, they don't come in repentance. They don't come in faith. They are praying, "Oh, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." Now, Revelation 7, interlude of grace. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, restraining the four winds of the earth so that no wind could blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel rising up from the east who had the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were allowed to harm the earth and the sea, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we seal the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the Israelites, 12,000 sealed from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 sealed from the tribe of Benjamin. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every tribe, nation, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, along with the elders and the four living creatures. They fell face down before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "Who are these people in white robes? Where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." Then he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. The one on the throne will shelter them. They will no longer hunger. They will no longer thirst. The sun will no longer strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne will shepherd them. He will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Called that an interlude of grace. It certainly is. You have two things in chapter 7, the sealing of the 144,000. Some people say that's just metaphorical. I don't see how it can be metaphorical. I think it's got to be literal. He mentions the tribes, Gad, Asher, and Naphtali, and all the rest of them. And I know today the Jewish people don't necessarily know each one, what tribe they are descended from, but God knows. He's going to see a 12,000 from the 12 tribes. I believe those are going to be Messianic Jews. They're going to be like 144,000 Billy Grahams going around the world during the days of the tribulation, preaching the gospel, the grace of God. That explains the second scene in chapter 7. Great multitude, which no man can number. White robes, speaking of salvation. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and palm fronds in their hands. The sign of victory, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. And the Lamb himself will lead them to the water of life. And at long last, all tears will be wiped from every redeemed face." What a picture that is. Final chapter for today. Now, we're coming to the seventh seal, Revelation 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a golden incense burner came and stood at the altar. He was given a large amount of incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense mingled with the prayers of the saints went up in the presence of God from the angel's hand. The angel took the incense burner, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it down to the earth. There were peals of thunder, rumbling, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet. Hail and fire mixed with blood were hurled to the earth. So a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain ablaze with fire was hurled to the sea. So a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from heaven. It fell on a third of the rivers and springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood. So many of the people died from the waters because they had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. I looked, heard an eagle flying high overhead, crying out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who live on the earth because of the remaining trumpet blast that the three angels are about to sound." You understand, Book of Revelation, chapter 4 through 22, things yet future, describes things that are going to happen in the coming seven-year tribulation period. You've got the seven seals of the scroll. Remember, the Lamb takes the scroll and he begins to open it. The whole point of the drama is to show, and we'll see this as we get to the end of the book, that Jesus is the conqueror, that Jesus wins. He owns the title deed to the planet Earth, this planet which Satan, that evil deceiver, has usurped. He's squatting here, but one day he's going to be thrown out. We're going to see it, see what happens to the devil at the end of the book. But these are the judgments of God. First seal open, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal. You say, what's the seventh seal? When the seventh seal is open, out here come the seven angels who are the seven trumpets. So what you have are six seals. These are judgments or pronouncements of judgment on the earth. Seventh seal, here come seven trumpets. And I believe as we move through the tribulation period, and by the way, just so you know, I believe that the rapture is the next thing on God's calendar. Got a note. I should just read, see if I can find it. Wasn't going to read this, but this is from our missionary friends, Bob and Amber Leland, just a finer couple. They served for years in Erie and Jaya, ministering over there. Bob and Amber, lovely, lovely people. And it's great. This is a Christmas letter. We got this yesterday. And update on their life. And it said, at the very end, the last thing they say, perhaps next year, the rapture, if not sooner. My gracious, I love that. The next thing is the rapture of the church. But after the rapture, here comes the tribulation period with the seals, trumpets, and the bowls, all of it leading up to the return of Jesus Christ physically to the earth. So what have we got so far? We got the four horsemen. We've got the rise of the Antichrist. We've got this war breaks out. We've got famine on the earth. We've got death that spreads everywhere. We've got the prayers of the martyred saints saying, "Oh Lord, please avenge our blood." And it's interesting, isn't it? Two things, and we'll be done today. Number one, for all of the judgment on the earth, multiple millions of people, billions perhaps, will not repent. They will feel and suffer the judgment of God. And let me see if I can find it here. At the end of chapter 6, as I was reading it, you know, sometimes you just read part of the Bible and it just hits you. This is the end of chapter 6. The people are, quote, praying. They're unrepentant unbelievers, and they are praying, "Fall on us." They're praying to the mountains, "Fall on us, kill us, hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." Oh, my friends, take note. Oh, my friends, this is the day of grace, but God's patience has a limit. The day of grace eventually comes to the end. If you will not take Jesus as the Lamb of God, you must face him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. If he is not your Savior, he will be your judge. Oh, my friends, do not say, another day I can be saved. You talk like that, one day you're going to face the wrath of the Lamb. There will be no hope for you. So that's why chapter 7 is so beautiful. In the midst of the terrible judgments on planet Earth, there is grace amidst the judgments of God. Okay, that's the end of the reading for today. The only other thing I want to say, this is a quote from Dr. John Walford. He was the president of Dallas Seminary when I was a student there 50 years ago, a great man of God. In his day, I suppose Dr. Walford was the foremost expert on Bible prophecy in all the world. I knew him just a little bit. Dr. Walford lived every day, kind of like Bob and Amber Leland. Maybe the rapture will be today. But listen to what Dr. Walford said. If ever there was an hour when men should consider their personal relationship to Jesus Christ, it is today. God is saying to this generation, prepare for the coming of the Lord. As my friend Gary Olson liked to say in that deep, booming voice of his, he'd come up and put his hand on my shoulder. I saw him do it to other people many times. Put his hand on my shoulder. Pastor Ray, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready, my friends? If you do not know how to answer that question, let me say very simply, run, run, run to the cross. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose from the dead. You can be saved today. If you are not ready to meet Jesus, you can be ready right now. Run, run, run to the cross. Put your life in his hands. Trust him as Lord and Savior so that if the rapture comes today, you will be glad to see him. That's the end of everything for today. Now, come back tomorrow. We're gonna read chapters 9 through 13. We're taking this in bigger chunks, Book of Revelation in bigger chunks, because I saved the last 2 days, the 30th and 31st, to do just two chapters a day. So tomorrow, Revelation 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, we're going to meet the Antichrist. We're going to meet him tomorrow. So go out and have a great faith-filled day. Keep your eyes on the skies, my friends. Jesus is coming again. Have a great day, folks. Come back tomorrow. We'll do it again. God bless.